Good morning, Church. My name is Ben. I'm from King's Court House Church, and I have the privilege to lead us in EMP today. Let me just start opening up in a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word. Heavenly Father God, thank you for this day. It's a new day, Lord, and thank you for that we have this privilege to give you our first fruits in our time, and that we could gather wherever we are, Lord, to come and abide in you, to come and study your word, and to receive the blessing and the truth that is in your word. Lord, we thank you, God, that you would be able to speak to us personally and individually through your word. God, we thank you, God, for today, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. So I will be leading us through the passages. First is John 10, 22 to 42. John 10, 22 to 42. At that time, the Feast of the Dedication took place at Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And the Jews picked up the stones again to stone him. But Jesus answered, "I showed you many good works from the Father. For which are you stoning me?" And the Jews answered, For a good work, we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God." And Jesus answered, "Has it not been written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming'? Because I said, 'I am the Son of God.' If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father." Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. And he went away beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing, and he was staying there. Many came to him and were saying, "When John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true." And many believed him there. And then the second passage is from 1 John 3:16, 18. "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, now how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or the tongue, but in deed and truth." This is the word of the Lord. So as I was reflecting on this passage, I couldn't help but reminded of how often I can be skeptical and insecure and uncertain. And I realized that my skepticism, like the Pharisees here, is really a manifestation of my own self-righteousness. And my insecurity and uncertainty is a symptom of my self-reliance. But this passage reminds me of the eternity, the security, and the certainty that we have in Jesus Christ. So taking a step back, the context here is the Feast of Dedication, which is also known as Hanukkah today. It's one of the few festivals that is not ordained in the Old Testament by God. It's a festival, it's a celebration that the Jews kind of created, and it celebrates Judas Maccabeus, as some of you may know, in 160 or 170 BC, where he led this revolt against the Greeks at that time that were oppressing the Jews. And the Greeks had desecrated the Holy Temple and they were worshiping gods, pagan gods, etc. And Judas Maccabeus comes along and he kind of is this warrior savior that takes back takes back the Holy Temple and pushes the Greeks away. And so, it's in this context, it's during this celebration of Hanukkah and celebration of this victory that the Jewish leaders approached Jesus and basically were interrogating him. And obviously at this time they were under the oppression of the Roman Empire. And I think in their mind, they thought they knew who the Messiah was going to be. I think they thought they had an idea of what type of person would fit this Messiah. And they were probably skeptical of Jesus because he didn't fit that mold, right? They probably had, looking back in their history, they thought of Gideon and of David, and of Judas Maccabeus and other kind of warrior saviors, and they were even reminded of Isaiah. In Isaiah 66, it talks about how the hand of God will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be shown to his foes. And in Isaiah 59, it talks about how God will repay wrath to his adversaries and retribution to his enemies. And he will deal this retribution so they will fear the name of the Lord. So I think they had this preconception and this skepticism toward Jesus. And it just reminded me of how blinding self-righteousness can be. I often think I know what's best for my family, for me. I may say I trust God, but in my heart, I probably have a scenario that I've already designed, which is ideal, right? Whether it's the school I wanted to go to, or the school I want my kids to go to, or even just recently where, the government kind of pulled a summer vacation on me. I had an idea of where we're going to go spend summer vacation. And I think similarly, the Jewish leaders weren't asking Jesus if genuinely he was the Messiah, right? They weren't really asking him, if he was the Messiah, but they were asking because they didn't want to believe that he was. And so Jesus tells us that, I told you, but you don't believe me. I've actually shown you through my works and you still don't believe me. And you don't believe me because you do not belong to my sheep. Right. And that hit me pretty hard because, I don't want Jesus to say that about me. And as I was reflecting upon this, I was just asking myself, if I belong to his sheep, what does it mean? What does it mean to belong to his sheep? Well, firstly, I think what it doesn't mean is seeking security and certainty in innately insecure things. All right, which we often do, which I often do. I think, in terms of that, whether it's health, it's wealth, it's career, it's relationships, right? We have ideal size of house we should be living in, and then number of kids and number of achievements that we can make. And once I get that, once I make those things, then I will feel secure. I will have a sense of certainty. But, we realize that those things are, temporal and ephemeral. And you know, I'm a big Twitter fan, and so I read this quote from the founder of Visa, which I shared recently with the house church. You know, he says, you know, he's like 95 years old, you know, obviously never lived a long life. And he said, you know, neither the newborn child or the dying man long for wealth, power, or fame. So why should we who are in between have such a craving for them? You know, I think many of us do, or at least I do, because of my insecurity and not fully trusting, not fully believing in my identity and eternal security that I have in Jesus Christ. And Jesus' invitation here is very clear. You know, it's to trade that self-reliance that we often go back to, and that self-righteousness, for the eternal security that comes from believing and being his sheep. And so what does it mean to be his sheep? You know, he says very clearly in verse 27, and my sheep listen to my call. I know them and they follow me. To me, you know, so my sheep listen to my call. I know them and they follow me. And to me, that simply means to believe in him, you know, to take that step of faith and believe that either this man called Jesus is a crazy person or he's the most important being in the universe. And C.S. Lewis puts this really well. He says, either Jesus is totally mad, on par with the man who claims to be a poached egg, out of his mind, uttering meaningless, garbled, rambling, megalomaniacal statements, or he is telling the truth. And if he is telling the truth, he is the most important being in the universe. He is at the center of everything. He is the center of life, the giver of truth. Jesus of Nazareth is the center of everything. And to ignore him is to grope in darkness and to live in rebellion and to miss out on joy, peace, love, and at last, as part of the world's fiery judgment. I sometimes realize that when I'm relying on my self-righteousness and my self-reliance, I'm basically just groping in darkness, right? I love that passage. And secondly, to recognize his voice is to intimately know his word, to pray and to be still so that we can hear him, right? To intimately know his word, to pray and to be still so we can hear him. You know, P. Sam has talked about this many times. You know, sheep have this unique ability to hear only their master's voice. And there was this test where they put all these sheep together from different owners, and they penned all these different sheep from different owners together. And each shepherd would call out to the sheep, and only their sheep would respond. Anyways, I didn't believe this, so I went on YouTube, and actually there's some really cool videos of this experiment and really cool videos of like all these people coming and trying to, you know, call for the sheep. And then the farmer comes, and once he calls, you know, like in the same word, all the sheep come running. And, you know, I think that's pretty cool, but it's a good, you know, allegory for, what we should be doing, because the enemy is constantly trying to distract us and trying to keep us busy. I'm guilty of this, right? Right now it's an earnings season. I work in, you know, finance, and when it's really busy at work, you know, I just have this tendency to cut short my quiet time, or I just skip quiet time altogether, right? And I say, I'll make it up. But I just jump right in front of Bloomberg, in front of my computer, and I'm checking out, you know, the markets. And I know it's futile. It's futile because it's not like I can move the markets. But, you know, I think we have this tendency that, you know, when things get really out of control, then, you know, I have to roll up my sleeves. When in fact, I should really be spending that time with God first, right? You know, because if we don't spend time with God, then how can we hear his voice? Right? If we don't find a quiet place and drown out all the noise, then how can we even hear if he's calling to us? Right? He could be calling to us, but we're just so busy with our everyday life. And some of you know my son Josiah. He's 1.5 years old. And recently we made popsicles, and many of you have young kids, so you'll find this funny. We made popsicles at home, and each of our boys got a popsicle. We have 3 boys, Josiah's youngest, and Nathaniel is, you know, a little bit older, he's 7, and Solomon is 5. He's turning 5 soon. And when his older brothers finish his popsicles, and they come for his popsicle and come for Josiah's popsicle, you know, you could see Josiah's, you know, fingers, you know, his little stubby fingers just tighten around the, you know, the grip of the popsicle. And nothing they can do can pry his fingers away from that popsicle stick. You know, so that popsicle stick was pretty secure in Josiah's hand. And for some reason, that imagery just came to me. You know, because, you know, when it says how, you know, no one can rest themselves, no one can rest them, which is us, out of my Father's hand. And, you know, realizing, and I hope, you know, I want to realize, you know, how secure, how ultimately secure we are in God's hands, right? We're secure, but he's also constantly fighting for us, right? He's not going to let us. Not going to let us go. And so, so in closing, you know, I challenge us, and myself included, to lay down that tendency to be self-righteous and to be self-reliant, which leads to skepticism, uncertainty, and insecurity, and embrace our role as Jesus' sheep with ultimate security. Let's move into a time of worship. So I'll invite Sterling up, please. Thank you.
Shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures he makes me lie down. He restores my soul and leads me on for his name, for his great name. Shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures he makes me lie down. He restores my soul and leads me on for his name, for his great name. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days, that I will dwell in your house forever and bless your holy. And the terror of night is at trust you. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever and bless your holy name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are on my side. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're on my side. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days, I will dwell in your house forever and bless your holy name. Surely goodness, surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days, I will dwell in your house forever and bless your holy name.
Thanks, Wesley. Let's move into a time of community prayer. Let's lift up those who are battling cancer and getting treated for chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's just pray for comfort. Let's pray for strength. Pray for the Holy Spirit's presence to be with them during this time and with their families. Lift up those who have illnesses and need salvation. Let's pray for God's healing as well as his mercy and his grace to envelop these people. Let's lift up those who are undergoing, who are suffering from other infirmities. And let's pray for God's healing power over them. Next slide. Let's pray for those people who are suffering from COVID, and also those of our church members who are frontline medical workers. God, we just pray for protection over them, for fast recovery as well, and just no complications during this time. Now let's lift up those who are looking for jobs. Lord, we just let's pray that they would find a good job, good location, good culture, and coworkers, Lord, that would really be able to invest in them. Thank you. Let's pray for our mission focus today, Singapore, SBSG, PFAM, Kim, and SPIN, Isamat and Spill Pierney. Let's lift them up. Let's also pray for our education ministry, for SP Kids, Lisa and SP Youth, Donald and SP Youth, P. Andrew, during this time that they would be able to still connect with the kids and the youth and the university students through Zoom, and that their relationships would still be built up, and they would still be able to minister to all these kids. Lift up our prayer and healing ministries, IP, Matt, the well, Sarah, and the River Rachel. Let's pray that God would anoint them and give them power to just transform lives, to break the hold of the enemy, and to really be able to do the work of the Holy Spirit. Pray for the local and evening outreaches, Agape, Homey, SP Lights, Bridge, Recreation, SP, Homey, okay. And let's just lift them up in terms of wisdom and how to connect with the different ministries and different outreaches during this time of COVID. And we just also pray for the ability to continue to minister and continue to connect and to invest into these different ministries and ministry partners. Let's lift up those in our church who are pregnant. Hazel, Joan, Cayman, Fiona, Audrey, Leslie, Diane, Winnie, and others. Let's just pray that they would really feel the tender grasp of God, and that they would feel so secure in God's hands. God, that their baby would feel so secure, that they would be comfortable during this pregnancy. Let's lift up those house churches that are meeting today, Colonel West, East Bay, McRobinson, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Ventress. So just pray that God's presence will be felt during this time, that the Holy Spirit will really speak to them during their house churches. Okay, that's it. Let me just read the intercessory prayer from the One app. Close us. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for tertiary educational institutions. We stand against a decay in moral standards and pray for Christian unions and those who seek to minister on campus. We pray their college and university years may be meaningful and full of purpose. And we pray for those churches and ministries who focus on students. Give them insights and discernment. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks everyone. Have a great day. Bye.